All right, everyone, we are back. It is yet another depressing edition of Inside City Limits. It is myself, Mike, and Trevor. Jack is out today. The performance on Wednesday night was so bad that he decided that he might not want to talk City anymore. So that's his problem. We are going to give it a go. We are going to give it, I don't even want to say our best positivity. Out or best positive outlook, because I don't know if there's going to be much positivity this episode.
We didn't
Fellas,
lose.
we didn't lose, but it
Feels like
felt
a
like a
loss.
loss. Definitely
Feels
felt like
worse
a
than a
loss.
loss. Feels worse, I think, almost dare I say, Blues with 1.6 seconds left, because you are up two goals at half against a dog shit Kansas City team, and you still can't. I'm at a loss for words. I really am. Sorry to cut you off. I'm
No.
pissed.
Hey, this is the second
I
time
feel
that's happened in the last five games that we had a two
yeah.
nothing lead and blew it.
I think that we all feel pretty similarly. I mean, going into that break, we can talk about the goals itself, but just in general, I mean, going into the halftime break, I was like, there's no way that they don't get all 3 points from this game, right? Like, our
Yeah, and
defense
we
has
were.
been great all year. They're gonna lock it in.
Had Berkey back.
Berkey
We were,
back, like,
and
yeah.
you could tell the difference that Berkey
Yeah,
brings to this team
you can.
when he plays.
I like at halftime we were even texting, and I was there, 10 feet from the pitch. But I was connected to the city Wi-Fi. Shout out city Wi-Fi, that's awesome. But I was texting, and I remember some of you guys were saying, like, let's put up five. It felt like the first year, the inaugural season when we were playing KC. Everybody's talking all this shit, and we go and we dog walk them at their place, at our place. We're like, well, let's put up five. Let's be relentless. Let's keep going. That was the vibe. But then as soon as they got that first goal, like the I don't even know what you. Like the feeling, like I could just feel that something bad was going to happen and they're going to tie it. And there was jawing back and forth, and it really didn't feel like a derby game till the last 30 minutes. And then, of course, that's the worst 30 minutes ever, just kind of like the Seattle game. Just this team can't finish games out, and that's on the coaching, that's on the players, it's on everybody. Because, like, they keep preaching in these pregame pressers about you have to have a good strategy going into the game, but obviously, we don't have a strategy. At when we're up late in the second half.
And I remember texting you guys after they scored the first goal. I remember saying, if we draw this game, I'm going to be so fucking pissed. And I was kind of like you. You could just feel it. And I don't know if that's us being pessimistic and just not expecting it to go well, but I felt it a little bit too. I was just like, I don't know why. Like, they were still somewhat, putting the ball into the final third, but it just felt very disconnected. It was sloppy passing, brick foot touches. You just felt like it could go bad, and it definitely did. Booze at the final whistle. I don't think I've
Good.
ever heard that before.
No, they deserved a little bit, because you shouldn't be blowing that type of that when you're up two nothing like that. And I wouldn't even say, even I think before that first KC goal went in, they weren't just parking the but they were back quite a bit, but they did that in the first half. But they were just as soon as that first goal went in is when they like, oh, we gotta play for the 2-1. Like we are not scoring another goal. That's how it felt as soon as the first KC goal went. Because they were still playing pretty free even after the Toysher goal, and they weren't sitting back that much. But as soon as that first KC goal went in, that's when they sat back, and that's when KC took advantage. The subs that were going to be made right before the goal, I think, were good. But as soon as that Kansas City second goal went in, and then you bring on Kessler, and then you bring on JGR, that's the ones I have issues with. Because at that point, now we need a goal. Like, you should not be playing for a draw in this scenario. You put both of those on up 2-1. You got to pull them back unless it was too late at that point. I don't know if you saw when they got up and if, they're talking, go sit back down, Cole, up in the press box. But, like, why make those subs now that it's 2-2?
When he first brought on Becher and Silva, So I was like, nice. They're going offensive. They're going to go out and put up one or two. Like, I like that they were keeping the foot on the gas and, like, bringing in some pace and some energy. But then to not sub out any defensive players, and then also when you do make a defensive sub, you take off Bumgarle instead of, like, Yarrow or Watts. Like, that's kind of crazy.
The Watts came off the same time with Zielinski.
Yeah.
It was Watts and Bumgarle with the...
Yeah,
like 75th or minutes or so subs.
Yarrow, I saw, of course, everybody was bitching about it, but like, I can't imagine, because it's not like Bumgarle wasn't fit. I mean, he's played in, unless it was like, you know, we want to keep him healthy for Saturday and the next Minnesota game. But like, why is Josh Yarrow playing 90 minutes?
And I honestly, of course, KC got those late goals. I really don't think Yarrow and Watts, I think Watts actually had a good game until that KC goal. It was both him and Yarrow over there just getting crossed up, and like we've seen it before. It's like you could say the same thing about the last game. Yarrow played actually a solid 70 minutes, but then he makes such a big, disastrous mistake, either marking or one-on-one or a bad touch. I agree. Like, don't sub Bumgarner off. Sub Yarrow off, and that KC goal is probably not going in. So
at some point, you just have to realize that Yarrow's not working.
I kind of hope that JGR now can fill that role, because he played some minutes, you know, the other night. I kind of hope that will eventually be, because I don't know if we can depend on Nilsson. Jack's not here to defend him this time. I don't know. If we can depend on him long term. But I'd like to see JGR kind of take over that Yarrow spot. Or Horn.
Yeah, we didn't.
Horn got an injury in training again. That's another thing we have to talk about, is how everybody is all of a sudden getting injured in training. And I feel like that's happened every year. And it's like this year, I mean, it's a lot more injury, so it's a little more like desperate. But
I mean,
it's kind of alarming that it's a constant issue.
Yeah, and I just don't think Watts and Yara should be playing. I don't care. Bring up City 2 people. I mean, the first KC goal, Yara's just standing still as the ball is headed down past him. And then Watts is also kind of just out there in no man's land and lets 14 on KC. I don't know who it was. I mean, Berkey almost got that. Like, he hit it right at Berkey, but it was point blank, so it went in between his legs. But, like, dude... Yarrow just, he shouldn't even start. He shouldn't play a minute, honestly, with how his last couple of performances. And you can't just keep blaming injuries at this point, because now we do have, you know, we don't know about Nilsson, but, you know, and I know Kessler just came back, but you just got to plug him back in. And then we need Totlin back real bad. That's for sure.
I'm at the point where, I mean, Wintzel and JGR can't be worse, right?
I haven't seen enough of JGR. Wintzel's also been pretty limited in, like, how much we've seen him. So I don't know. But at this point, it's like you don't have much more to lose, right? Let me pull up Foot Mob real quick. You got to be, 14th out of 15th in the Western Conference. You just blew a 2-goal lead to the 13th place team and your rival. Something's got to change, even if it's for the worse at this point, because you just can't keep doing the same thing and expect to climb out and go on a 12-game St. Louis Blues win streak. It's just not going to happen with the players you have right now. And even fully healthy, and you see Leuven back, I don't know if they have the players to do it.
And that's, I tweeted out earlier, I feel like this is kind of the end of the honeymoon phase. Like, for a while, you know, we were just happy to have a team, and then we had a good run, and we, you know, the one seed, we made the playoffs, and it's like, oh, well, you know, if we're still a young franchise. Like, you kind of had that excitement, and now I feel like a lot of the fan base is starting to sour, and a lot of people are calling for Olaf or Lutz to be fired. I don't really, Trevor, we kind of talked about it pre-recording. I'm not sure that I'm Olaf or Lutz out yet. But if it continues like this, especially in those big moments, like at KC, you lose 2-0. You can't even put a decent chance through the goalie. Here, you blow the 2-goal lead. Something's got to have to change at some point. I just don't know what it is.
I think my favorite comment about that I saw last night was the, and this really fucked me up. Somebody said, Leeds is a con artist, just giving his friends money, clear out the front office.
He's a con artist.
The con artist is a bit far. I mean, we saw the first season, we did it backwards is the issue. If this was our first season, you know, you hit that around the head with the everybody starting to sour. Because we have seen success already. So I know it's a brand new club, but we've already seen success. First year was successful. And ever since then, you know, you look back at all the moves he's made and you say, why? Like, I'm kind of tired of seeing Germans out there at this point. Give me 11 Celios out there. You can suck. We're a new French club. You can suck. You got to be exciting, though. You can't suck and play boring football.
That's why I like Celio. Yeah. He's exciting. I know he has his issues defensively and maybe off the ball, and it seems like Olaf doesn't love him with how he talks, and maybe that's just me reading into nothing. But, dude, he's out there sniping from 20 out, curling it around the goalie. Every time he has the ball, I, like, sit up in my seat at home or like sit up on the couch, or I'll yell Celio and my wife will hit me because I'm yelling too loud. But the dude is exciting to watch. Ostrock is exciting to watch. Anytime he got the ball, he would just start running forward. Wallum did the same thing. And, like, we need more of those players. I'm so tired of just seeing Watts out there. Betcher, I'm done with. Jack was right from the get-go, dude. Terrible. I know Klaus hasn't done anything either. Klaus just played 70 minutes and didn't do shit. And had to he didn't do shit. He missed some big chances. Not like they were fantastic XG chances. A couple shots, though, like you're a designated player and you just sent one into row Z 4,000 feet off target on a ball that you should just take a touch and hit. Like, it just seems he's lost his confidence. Or maybe the system's really just not set up for him. But I'm tired of our strikers not scoring. And I say that about Toichert. Yeah, Toichert has a goal. The ball hit off of him, and it got a lucky bounce and went in. These front three, nobody's doing anything. Our goal game, most of the time, is midfielders scoring. Our strikers don't score. Our nines don't score. Our attacking, like, the most likely people to score a goal is a winger and a center mid from the spot. Something's got to change in this upcoming transfer window. I don't care if you keep Betcher. I don't care if it's, I'm not really a Klaus out type of guy, but you have to get just a number nine. Look what Kansas City did. Dog shit franchise, dog shit team. They went out and they got Jovalich, and he's putting goals past us in derby games. He did it last game. He's a true number nine and he knows how to score. And we don't have one of those players. We sit back, even with the lead, and we wait for the other team to attack us. And our defense, we don't have the players right now to defend that. Like I said earlier, I love how the defense has been this year, and they're rock solid compared to the rest of the MLS. But at some point, you can't just keep trusting them to do it. And in the last two or three games, in the last five games, the defense has not been very good because we put so much pressure on them, because we don't score and we don't take it to the other team. That's the end of my rant. Sorry. I could go on for hours. I'm pissed.
Mike, I want to get your opinion on it because I agree with what you said, Trevor, like Klaus and Toichert. I feel like us three, you know, Jack has been a big Klaus defender, but I would rather keep Toichert than Klaus at this point. I feel like we've seen more of Klaus and we kind of have seen nothing really change. Toichert, I'm still not really sure of, but, you know, he really turned it on at the end of last season, and I think maybe he could get back to that. Klaus could too, I guess, but the Betcher chance, I feel like that was just a hell of a save by Pulskamp. I mean, that was like a Jordan Bennington kick save, like Betcher definitely could have floated it a little bit, like the messy, you know, the trademark little chip over the goalie. But I think that was just – I just think that that was a good save. I think that the Betcher chance, that was just – I mean, he could have floated it up and over, but that was just a really good kick save. Like, I don't
know. Yeah, it's a good save, but how much XG – and how many missed chances are we going to get? That one is a good save, and it happens. And it's not a big deal. It's fantastic save. I literally just watched the replay as we were talking about it. Fantastic kick save. But we could give him the benefit of the doubt if he's been scoring goals this year. But to lead the team in XG like he does and to get so many point-blank chances, to see another one not go in, it's just frustrating. I get it. Great save. I mean, sometimes you just can't do anything. But it's been all year where he just hasn't been – putting the ball in the back of the net, and that's what he's here for.
He hit the nail on the head there on that one. That is something that you hate to see, because it's not like it had no chance. Like Klaus's 10-mile-an-hour skipper, he missed wide left by 30 feet. One of the worst shots I've ever seen in MLS history. Yeah, that was awful. Bad.
He tried to one touch it. I feel like, because it wasn't a bad ball played in, I feel like he could have taken a touch or cut it back or even held it up, but he tried to do like a one touch, and he's still pretty far out. He's like top of the 18, and that ball just sailed. I mean, that could have fucking gone out for a throw. Shit.
It was awful. But yeah, I mean, it's just, how many times is Betcher going to do it? How many times are we going to watch this and the next game be like, oh, Bosher and Klaus are out there again?
Trevor was
right. The only time you ever feel we're dangerous with the ball is when Celia, Hartel, or Bushrock has it, or Wallen. That's it.
And the first part, when the game started, I was actually really worried about the Ostrock, Wallen, Hartel pairing there. It's like, I love Ostrock, I love Wallen, I love Hartel, but it just seems like the midfield was getting the first, I don't know, 15 minutes of the game, like the midfield just couldn't get the ball and they couldn't work it up. And I'm like, I'm worried that the midfield's gonna get dogged on all day. But then as soon as, you know, we started playing out of the back and you'd give it to Ostrock or Wallen, they would just start turning it and running upfield. And I loved it, because you haven't seen that at all. And even with Leuven, and I think Leuven's arguably the best player on the team, you know, I need him back in the lineup. But a lot of times you'll see Leuven kind of float, pass it back, and then maybe play a ball in. But to where I really liked how Ostrock and Wallen were just taking it to the other team. Because Hartel's the same way. He's trying to pass through the defense to where they're giving you that space. Why aren't we using it?
Only way to stop it or to fix it would be to, you need to go to a 3-4-3. And have one of those strikers out there. It needs to be Klaus, because he's the best at actually holding the ball up. But Silva and Celio need to start every game up on the wings.
How many? That's exactly what I was going to say. How many header goals do we have this year? Like, how many ball in headed in?
Counting Klaus's, was it his technically a header?
Yeah. Yes. Because he kicked. Didn't he kick it and it was a save?
I think he might have tapped it in with his toe.
Yeah. But anyway, like, how many balls in headed in, like crosses in, whether it's a corner, a free kick, or just a cross from open play? Because, like, I feel like I haven't seen that much. And we were spoiled that first year. I feel like, especially with like Tim Parker and Klaus had some, like, that first year, I feel like so many set piece goals, so many headed balls in. I feel like this year we're not seeing any of it, and I don't know if it's the service or the, like.
We don't have our guy. Lucas is not here.
Yeah,
he's the reason we always look dangerous on set pieces.
Yeah,
Hartel does really good from free kicks.
Yeah,
we need someone else doing corners.
I think in the limited time, not to just keep jumping around because I'm fired up, but in the limited time we saw him, Silva looked dangerous on the ball. He did remind me of like that Celio. Like, when he gets the ball, you don't know what he's going to do. And as a fan, so I'm sure defenders are also not knowing what's going on. Both of them need to just be in the lineup. I'm even fine playing Silva in the Watts role. Like, you saw Pompeo drop back. I mean, Pompeo played in that. He was technically like a left wing back last game.
And that's what I was talking about with the 3-4-3 and have them playing wings. They need to be out there. Him, Wallen, Hartel, or Celio are the only people who ever look dangerous with the ball at their feet. That you actually will sit there and go, we might have something here. Every time Hartel passed the through ball up to Klaus, I was like, why'd you do that?
Yeah, for Celio played fantastic. He was also John and Mouth, and I loved. He was into the game. You could tell, and I said it earlier. His goal of the year for me so far from this City team, and I know we don't have a lot to really talk about. Maybe Leuven have a pretty sick free kick, but this one was like a one touch outside. Like you couldn't place it better. Just disgusting goal.
And Trevor, I feel like we had different viewpoints. Like, I know that you were like right down. Weren't you on the side that it curled into?
Yeah, I was on the side it curled into, front row, probably like 20 feet to the left of the net from like your point of view. So like towards the far corner.
From where I am up in the press box, I didn't think it was even going in. Like when he first hit it, I was like, damn, he has the space. And it looked like it was just going to curl wide. And then there was like that split second where it hit the net, and I was like, oh shit. And you know, of course everyone goes nuts. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe he made
that. When he hit it, honestly, like halfway through, I kind of was already jumping up because I could just see that rotation on the ball. And maybe this is just me like romanticizing the moment because you're down there, you're drinking, you're having a good time. But dude, I was already like, as soon as he hit that, I was yelling shoot the whole time like a good St. Louis fan does. But why is he not on free kicks around there? Like if Leuven's not in, and I know Hartel's pretty good too, but I'd put Celio on some free kicks around there. Celio needs more responsibility. He needs to be playing 90 minutes the whole time because he rocked it. He had a 7-7 per foot mob this game, and I think he played fine defensively. I know his movement off the ball can be bad, specifically in the first half. Klaus and Hartel, and they were trying to do a little give and go, but Celio was kind of still just standing there, and the ball went out for a goal kick. So I can see some of the frustrations off the ball. He's kind of ball watching a little bit, but I think he really got into it. He was playing good defense. He was John with freaking Suleimanov, if however you say it, 93, the 5-2 guy on the other team. He rocked it. He needs to be in 90 minutes, and obviously fitness isn't an issue. He just played 90 minutes and he did really well. Ostrock also, I think, needs to start. If Leuven comes back, I can see him being more of a sub if you need a goal, but I think he rocked it too. He had an 8, highest rated player of the match. So tied with Hartel.
Did you see the comments that Olaf made when I think I sent you guys the thing in the group message when they were asked about why Celio got the start after not playing recently? And Olaf made multiple mentions of like the players who work hard are the ones who are going to get rewarded.
Yaro,
he didn't like Celio.
Yeah, I get it. Yaro works hard. Hebert works hard. Yaro cost us fucking games. Celio's put it in the back of the net. Like,
talking about Josh Yaro. We're just triggered by Josh Yaro.
You're talking about people that work hard, locker room presence. That's Josh Yaro, right? That's Kyle Hebert. You can tell some of the people that work their asses off, and I'm sure it shows in training. I need to get down and watch training, so I might be talking out of my ass here. But Celio scores goals, and like Mike said earlier, he is the only dangerous person on the ball most of the time. You gotta play him. I get it, you know, maybe sub him off early if he's not working hard, but in a game it looks like he's working, he's doing fine. Like he's working hard, he's playing defense.
I got a news flash for Olaf. The hard workers have 2 points in the last 9 games.
It's time to change the formation. It's time to really flip over some of the scoreboard.
3-4-3. Look, we're not all blind, you know, we love Celio. He doesn't play good defense.
Yeah.
In a 3-4-3, you can hide that. You can stick Wallen behind him. Wallen plays, he's not like a top-tier defender. He's better than Celio, right, at getting back and putting pressure on the ball. There's ways to hide it. The Blues didn't stop playing Tarasenko because he didn't try on defense. You know what I mean? Yeah.
That's honestly a good point.
Brett Hull's on the Hall of Fame for defense.
Exactly. We haven't scored. The only people who actually look like they can score, they're not good enough at defense to play. Who cares? He's a winger. He's not a center back.
Kessler's back. Berkey's back. And I'm contradicting my own point earlier about you can't just keep getting bailed out by your defense. But we can't score fucking goals. Like, Berkey's back. Just take a couple of chances here. And I don't even know if you have the players to do it, but Pompeo's got to be starting. Silva, I think, needs to be starting instead of Watts if you're going to play that formation.
I promise you the fan base would rather lose 3-2 than 1-0.
Yeah, I'd rather not lose at all, but right now I'd rather take 3-2s than 1-0s. If we're going to lose, I'd rather see 2 goals go in.
And I think that Wallum looked pretty good on the ball. Like, he had a couple of those little turns. Like, he'd fake one way, spin around, and go upfield. Like, he is decent on the ball, and we don't...
Him and Ostrock actually taking the space that's in the middle and going to create something with it, it's all you've been missing all season.
I feel like if you can get... Like, okay, say we did the 3-4-3. We have the top three of Celio, Klaus or Toyshirt, Silva. Who would you put in that midfield spot on the right side? Totland?
If he ever fucking comes back.
If he's healthy, yeah, I'd play Totland.
Because I'm thinking if we could get the back three of Kessler, Bumgardle, Horn maybe, and then out on the
Hebert.
Left.
I think Hebert needs to be starting every game.
Yeah. Which is Hebert on the I still see people shitting on Kyle Hebert on Twitter, and I'm like,
I think it's because he looks nervous with the ball. I really think it's because he looks nervous with the ball. Like, he gets the ball, and he's like stutter stepping, not knowing where to go, but he makes the right play. Like, honestly, I can't remember a huge Kyle Hebert blunder since like week three when he passed the ball to, was that like week three or week two, or when he passed the ball to LA Galaxy? I can't remember, but I remember there's a huge blunder and we were giving Jack shit about it. But like, he had a low rating last game, but I think it's because they really just didn't attack down his side. They were going after the Watts Yarrow little death triangle there.
I was just going to say, I heard someone call it on Twitter the triangle of death, and I was like, that's
hilarious. The ball watching was alluding to that. I think it might have been Watts Hebert Yarrow or something. It was like the triangle of death. So, yeah.
Hebert on the right.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
He's moldable enough. And I mean, he has a couple assists this year, so it's not like he doesn't know what to do with the ball.
He just doesn't pass the eye test, Mike.
It's because he's short. I legit see people say that they don't want to center back because he's like 6 foot even.
I mean, he isn't the build of a center back, more like a wing back, but he's not ball watching as somebody dribbles past and gets a goal on Berkey 2 feet from the net. Yarrow.
Yeah, we saw when he was defending Lozano. Like, exactly what you're saying. He gets after it. Doesn't let it go. Kind of like Yarrow did. I think it's the second goal on LAFC, if you guys remember.
Ooh, yeah.
I think he
put
fouls there.
Did you guys see the comment post-game from... How'd you say it, Trevor? The former Galaxy striker, Jovalich?
Jovalich? I think it's Jovalich.
After the game, basically said, can we play them every week? I think that would maybe be good for me and good for the team. And that's the kind of... I know that it's like, okay, they beat us last time, and then, you know, we couldn't beat them at home. But, like, that's the kind of shit that pisses me off more than maybe some of the bad play. Like, once they're just openly talking shit because we can't handle ourselves at home in a rivalry game, like, I don't know, dude. I don't think I've been more mad in my life than I was leaving the first game in Kansas City and then leaving the game Wednesday night. Like, just pure rage.
I wasn't too mad right after the game. I was disappointed, but I had to, like, not be a little baby in front of my wife. But this morning on the way to work, I was fuming, dude. I was, like, white-knuckling the steering wheel. I was so fucking pissed.
If anyone who is still listening to this follows me on Twitter, they saw it. Because I just had to get thoughts out. And I was just, like, basically yelling into a brick wall.
I was going to say, but I was like, all right, that's a disappointing point. And then as we're talking about it, texting, I'm getting, and you guys probably tell my messages, I'm getting more and more, the more I think about it. Because we got those goal 3 points against one of the worst teams in the league. We can't even say that.
I mean,
we're one of the worst teams in the league.
So, St. Louis Cardinals aside, because the Cardinals do this, but like if you have a team and you are bottom of the table or bottom of the standings 2 years in a row, don't you fire your manager and fire fucking, like, president, and you fire the GM and stuff like that. Most American sports do that. So I don't want to put it out there yet. And I'm, like I said, I'm not really Olaf out yet. I was talking to Cole earlier. I was like 10% Olaf out going into this game. Now I'm about 40%. He wasn't even on the sidelines to make the bad decisions, but you know, that's their game plan, and who he wanted in went in. But with the recent like bottling of late game situations, I'm starting to get there. And then if you have such a great first season, and yeah, maybe we got spoiled and stuff like that, but to have 2 years where, I mean, you look at the table, there's only one team underneath us with a negative 21 goal differential, which is crazy. LA Galaxy, figure it out. That's tough. But we haven't won in what, 10 matches? We have two wins on the season.
Since that Leuven free kick, March 15th.
You count Omal.
No, you don't count. That's a fucking layup.
I will count the Minnesota if we beat Minnesota in the U.S. Open Cup.
Hey, I don't know if we have any comments before we get to the Minnesota preview, but we're not beating Minnesota either.
Hey,
time.
I actually do have a comment because it reminded me of our mutual friend Ian lives up in Minnesota. And he was going to get me a game day scarf because apparently Minnesota United is going to have a U.S. Open game day scarf for the St. Louis City match. The scarves were lacking in the game day scarf department. It didn't have a date on it, location, obviously City Park, but no date, no who we're playing, just a random scarf that they called the game day scarf. The TIFO was
TIFO. Trevor, this is what they did, because I clocked the same thing. I went to the Pavilion store, bought. Yeah. I didn't even look at the scarf. I just bought it because they said, "Oh, that's the rivalry scarf. It's not the match day scarf. It's the rivalry scarf." That's
I want a match day scarf, City, and I keep complaining about it on your app, and nothing's getting fixed.
What does fire have to do with the rivalry? Didn't it say like hell burn City red?
Yeah.
Yeah, because of the blue hell. KC.
That's dumb.
I agree. TIFO is on point. I love TIFOs. We should have it every game. Fantastic.
TIFO was sick.
No notes on the TIFO. On the game day scarfs, figure it out. All right?
Gonna fire Olaf TIFO.
It should have been like St. Louis barbecue themed because it's called the Darbecue or whatever. I texted in to 101 ESPN to see their thoughts on it, and surprise, surprise, nobody said anything about City the whole week. So,
I was going to say, good luck.
It's like, hey, should talk about the City game. Oh, yeah, they didn't score. They suck. All right, moving on. Here's the Cardinals bullpen.
I was going to say, let's put Cardinals in the subject line for them to talk about it.
Trevor, was that TMA that you texted into?
It was TMA. I figured if anybody was going to like read the chat and comment on it, it would be TMA, but they did not get to it.
I have actually been listening. I was a big morning drive guy, and I've been listening to TMA, and it's pretty funny. They crack me up. But I was listening on the way home from work today, and Ackerman said that the only subject that they can talk now that nobody bitches about is Blues hockey. He said if you talk Cardinals,
bitch about
now,
the Cardinals
because they suck, people bitch about that. And it used to be all Cardinals all the time. And I was like, that's – to be honest with you, this is me being very dramatic, but if City continues to suck, I think that I would get into, like, with the Cardinals for a while, I was almost apathetic. Like, I just didn't give a shit. With City, I think I care so much that it's just going to gradually snowball. I'm just going to get more and more pissed off the longer it goes with no changes.
So, I hate seeing my sports teams lose, and I'm a, you know, diehard Blues fan, diehard Cardinals, diehard City. But when we say the same things over and over that we know are wrong and they keep losing, it almost is like a little bit of serotonin. Like you have that satisfaction where it's like, I fucking told you so. And that's how I was as a Cardinals fan the last couple of years. I'm like, you need to do, you know, it's anything that 101 it talks about, anything any Cardinal fans talks about. It's like they're not spending money on the right players. They're not developing pitchers. These guys suck. We're spending money on the wrong people. And then they lose, and you're like, well, see, I fucking told you. And so you have that little bit of a satisfaction. It's starting to get that way with City. I need a City victory like I need oxygen. However, we can't score. We're preaching the lineup. How bad is the fucking subs? And I'm starting to get that satisfaction when we keep losing. I fucking told you so. I don't know how you guys feel. I'm not cheering against City, but I do get that little bit of satisfaction when they don't do the things I say that I want as a fan, and I'm sure the whole fan base are saying, and they still get the same results.
That's why I'm negative all the time, because I just like, and when I'm saying, oh, they're going to get killed, and then that, I was going to say, Jack and Mike give me so much shit for that. And it's like, I'm not, just I don't, nerves. I would rather they
be negative all the time.
I would rather City win and me be wrong than me be right and they continue to lose.
I'd rather City win and me be right.
Maybe they'll start winning.
Yeah.
Well, I've tried and it ain't working. The only other
depressing, looking good.
The depressing stats that I found from Twitter. City have dropped 10 points from winning positions this season, nearly half the total that they had in 2024 in only 13 games this year.
Which is crazy. 2024 was a bad year, too. I hate when they compare it to the inaugural season, because it's just like, okay, we get it. We had a magical run. Stop comparing these seasons. But 2024 was pretty bad, and we already have, worse stats than this. It's like, can it get much worse? Yeah, we have 2 wins, 13 games through the season, and we're dead last with LA Galaxy, who's given up 31 goals.
What's funny is I think the Blues have that same stat.
Did they really?
I'm pretty sure. Did you guys listen to Armstrong's? This is City, but did you guys listen to Armstrong's postseason?
No.
I think he said if we won all the 5-on-6s we lost, we would have had 102 points.
Yeah. Maybe Cole just pulled that stat from Armstrong and he was fibbing.
Well, I'm saying, maybe. Exactly. Lose 12 game win streak. In the season.
Yeah. We'll see. Maybe. Win 12 in a row.
Maybe.
I don't know. And this is what to be the sky is falling, because the season is so long.
We're only one third of the way through the season.
Turn it together. We have time. And turn it around.
Yeah. But
19 to make the playoffs.
And, yeah.
Yeah. And then you watch game, and you're just like, and we turn it around? I don't know.
We're only 5 games out, or 5 points out of the playoffs.
It's just because of how we've been playing, I think, and that's why it looks.
That's what I'm saying. You can suck. You can't be boring and suck. And yeah. We've been boring and suck, so it just amplifies the issues, because not only are we're losing in a way that makes people not want to watch.
And then we're seeing the same formation over and over in the same style of play, and nothing's changing up. Yeah.
Yeah.
We need to get to the preview, Cole, because.
We're going to give up 2 goals before you stop playing them.
We could probably go on for 3 hours complaining about this.
Yeah. This last thing I'll say about it. I saw people saying, you can't pin this on Watson Yarrow. You can't blame them for the goal.
Watch me.
Outcome in every fucking replay is Watson Yarrow, you see.
Yarrow's standing there, heels planted in the grass, watching KC run past.
That had Watson Yarrow there? No, it's because they're the ones getting the goals. We had the best goalkeeper in the MLS back there.
It's like Gray on Notre Dame, the cornerback, just getting cooked all the time. Anytime someone catches the ball, it's like, oh, who was the D-back on him? Was it number 29?
Christian Gray. Yep.
He'll be good, though. He's young.
Last thing, then we will move on. The last 4 matches, this is from our BFF, Matt Baker. 9 goals allowed after the 60-minute mark and 1 goal before that mark. So they're just letting it go in the fucking last 30 minutes.
That's on those fresh leg subs. Olaf loves to act like he's a genius for inventing.
Okay. All right. We will actually move on. We have a match on Saturday. 80%. See, I'm like with Trevor, I'm like 40 to 45.
I think they need a clear house.
I think that if you lose to Minnesota in the U.S. Open Cup, which you're probably going to, then you're probably not going to get a trophy and not going to make it. I think at the end of the season, if that's the case, you got to move on.
So I'm going to be very disappointed in this U.S. Open Cup game coming in if they don't play the best 11. And I'm talking Leuven included. Like, Leuven needs to be in the game. And I feel like it's the same shit I said last year. I'm going to go on another tangent. I'm not going to be 100% Olaf out till I see Leuven in the lineup consistently and what he's doing with the top three and all those players we brought in. Because later last year, when we had those top three players in there and Leuven was working the ball, that 10-game stretch went really well. We need our best midfielder in the game working with our best, quote, I'm using air quotation marks here, our best offensive players. Then if Leuven's in the lineup consistently and it's still sucking, then yeah, clean house, get rid of him. But I'm not fully Olaf out till I see that. And Minnesota's good, and it's going to be tough, but I think we at least need over 2 points from these two games. I'd take a draw. I would take one win, one loss. But if it's 1 point or no points from these two games, one of it being an Open Cup match, one of it just an MLS match. And I get it, Minnesota's good. But you need at least over 2 points for me to be happy.
Minnesota is pretty good. I mean, they're sixth. Now that Jackson on this episode, I'm going back to win, loss, draw. They're 6-3-4, 22 points. They have scored 19 goals, which isn't, I mean, a crazy amount, but they've scored, you know, 8 more than we have at 11. They have a positive goal differential, but their passing accuracy only at 75.3%. They are the lowest in MLS in passing.
They are third in the West, and I think maybe that's because they are aggressive offensively. You know, I have not watched Minnesota play a minute because they have not played City, and I don't go around watching every MLS game. But I'm guessing with that low passing, I'm guessing they're just playing dangerous balls in and trying to get goals.
They have 67 on-target attempts in 160 total. We had 57 on-target attempts for 150 total. So, I mean, they're putting more shots on target than we are. I think that's where your goalkeeper comes into play, and we have, I'd confidently say, probably the best one in the league. So I'm kind of hoping after Wednesday, I'm going to be honest, it's not really a shock to everybody. I'm pretty low on the performance on Saturday. I think it could maybe be like a 1-1 or a 0-0 draw. But I don't think that we're going to do much offensively, which is a big surprise.
Are we getting into the predictions?
I will say Minnesota, their last five, they lost to Houston yesterday 2-0. They beat Miami 4-1. I didn't look at the lineups, but if they had the full lineup there, that's pretty impressive. 3-0 loss at Austin. 3-1 loss at Vancouver. That's optimistic because we held them to nothing. And then 0-0 versus Dallas. They are kind of up and down in the Austin last five matches.
Didn't we? Or was it
2-1? What's crazy about the sorry to cut you off. I think it was 2-1.
It was 1-0. I just looked.
1-0. The Miami game, they had Minnesota had 27% of the possession. Messi did play, got an 8-3, highest rating on the field, even though they lost. So like they had pretty much their whole lineup there, except I think, was there a red card in this game? No red card. They just they just outplayed them. Like the whole defensive line of Miami were like under a 6. They were like a 5-4 and a 4-8 and stuff like that. So they just played good team ball. They had Miami was fully healthy, had 73% possession, but only 0.53 expected goals to where Minnesota had 1.2.
You see the drama after that game too? That was hilarious.
Was that Messi talking shit to the ref?
No, it was the Minnesota United social media team.
Oh, yeah. David Beckham was commenting, like, chill out.
Up there, yeah. And David Beckham was like, that's so disrespectful.
Have some class.
America, pal.
They're paying your best player's salary. Yeah, I think they can tell you however they want.
They're basically shareholders, pal. You got to keep them happy.
My taxes pay your salary.
All right, we can get into the do we even want to do a predicted starting 11?
I feel like it's gonna be copy paste yesterday.
It's all off. It's gonna be the same fucking shit. And then in the 70th minute
with Cornell.
Watch this actually be the one that changes, and we didn't discuss it.
It might change it just because I feel like they're eyeing a U.S. Open, so we might.
Yeah. If I'd be so disappointed if
Zelensky.
I could see it. I'd be so disappointed if like the lineup comes out. If the lineup comes out and it's just like City 2 and dog shit players for the Open, so it's like, oh, so now we're not even going for a cup run, and we're fucking
honestly
second to last.
I'd rather them play the dog shit lineup Saturday and go full strength for a cup run.
That's what I'm saying.
There's no way they're making the playoffs. I'm gonna be honest. We're not.
The only people I can guarantee you will be in the lineup is Watson Yara.
Fuck, dude. Okay, well, I mean, so the center back, what?
Just Umgarnel, copy paste, man. I don't even want to think about the BS lineup he's gonna put out.
We can at least do score predictions. Last week we can talk about the guessing game. Mike did get 2 points.
He
got a Celio goal and a man of the match. So he got Celio both scores. He's up.
Celio's man of the match. It's like what I said.
That's true. You called it. That is exactly what you said. So you're up to 3 points. We are now tied for second place behind Jack, who had 5. Trevor's still with 1.
I'm getting that Heber jersey.
To the random woman who wore a Kyle Heber jersey in the City Pavilion, I saw you, and I did take a picture without your consent. I apologize, but I had to show Jack.
That's weird. You didn't have to say that.
Turn it to a crime?
You could have just silently been a creep.
Cool jersey, by the way.
Custom job, obviously.
Definitely cut. She had to bring that blank jersey into the Pavilion store.
They're like, "Hey, I want a Kyle Heber jersey." You're like, "How do you spell that? Because we don't know."
Yeah, we don't have the letters for that.
Surprised it wasn't just written with Sharpie on the back.
They probably just had to go grab one out of his locker room because they didn't even want to mess with it.
Yeah, it's a good warm. $30 right there.
It's like the Cleveland Browns depressing QB jersey where you just put a piece of tape over it and circle or X out one, put the next name.
First, 2 points. Trevor's back to solo last again.
Yeah. Christ.
1-0 City. I'll sit here and bitch for 50 minutes. I'll look you in the eye and I'm going to say they're going to win next week. 1-0 City. Silva goal. I think Berkey's going to get man of the match. I didn't want to copy someone else's answer, so I put Silva.
I actually went against what Mike just said about if Celio scores, he gets man of the match. Because I think, as I also just sat here and bitched for 40 minutes, I just got a gut feeling that was like a wake-up. You would have thought that 2-0 loss to Kansas City would have been a wake-up call. But I think this is a wake-up call. People are going to start getting a little nervous there. And the coach is seating in the front office. 2-0 City victory. They shut out in Minnesota. They put 2 past him. One of those goals would be from Celio. He's on fire, but I do think man of the match is Berkey. Because when City likes to get a lead, they like to allow a lot of shots, and I think Berkey saves them all.
I am a little different, of course. I went with a 3-1 Minnesota victory. Berkey being in goal makes me feel like it could be, you know, like maybe 2-1 or even 1-0 because we're definitely not going to score. But Trevor, you talked about the wake up call. I'm trying to be somewhat positive. You talked about the wake up call. I remember when the presser started last night. The first question, the reporter even said, like, you know, you guys were in there for a while in the locker room after the game. Like, I think they made the presser kind of be pushed back a little bit, so they were probably getting fucking screamed at for the shit performance that they just put out. And I'm gonna go with another shit performance. 3-1 Minnesota. I didn't pick a man of the match. I don't really want to pick a Minnesota player for man of the match, but this is where, again, pessimism. I said Klaus for the goal scorer just because I think it could be like a 3-0 game, and then Klaus gets like a sad garbage time goal to pad the stats. So Yeah, that's about where I'm at, boys. Not great.
I just think I can't wait to listen back to this episode when we about to rip off 12 wins in a row and think about how stupid we are. Such idiots. City's going on 12 games. Yeah, 12. City's going on a 12-game winning streak right here.
Well, we'll be back after the first game against Minnesota to review the Saturday match and also preview the Wednesday match, and then we can revisit some of these takes maybe. But until then, give us a follow on Twitter at ICLPod, at CSuttonCity. And until next week, everybody, let's go City.